Well, we will get into our Bibles here for a little bit. If you'll go with me to Psalm 30 tonight, I want to share something with you from Psalm 30, and then we'll have our business meeting here in a little bit. I have been hearing about different folks that are sick and stuff like that and can't make it tonight, and so they're not skipping out because it's business meeting tonight, but different things. So just pray for each other. By way of a prayer request, I will say this. I don't know if they wanted me to say this or not, but I know Miss Joan had an accident after work today, so I think she's okay, but just pray for that situation there. So that's why they're not here this evening. And then Brother Mike has his surgery, that heart procedure, Friday. So remember that one as far as prayer concerns go. I don't know if I'll have time to really do much of that in a little bit. So think about those. And then your brother, Julie's brother, with the flu, right? And she hadn't been around him, right? Okay. All right. She hadn't been around him. So pray for her brother with the flu and any others perhaps that are sick and not able to be with us tonight. Let's remember all of those. But I want to take a few minutes tonight and share with you from the scriptures, and I'll try to do this quickly so that we can have plenty of time to take care of our annual business. We only do this once a year, so I want to have time for that here in a little bit. But Psalm 30, if you look, first of all, verse 10. Let's just go to verse 10. Psalm 30 and verse 10, where David says, "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper." So let's read that again. "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper." He says, hear us, have mercy upon us, and help us. I like that prayer. Amen. And I've been trying to pray that prayer of late as well. And it's something that I think we all need. And it fits any time, really. We need to ask God to hear our prayer. And you see that oftentimes through the Psalms, whenever he would say, "Hear me, O Lord, incline thine ear unto my prayer." So he's saying, "Lord, hear me." And then that prayer, "Have mercy upon me." That's a good prayer. Amen. And then, "Be thou my helper." That's a good prayer. So I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, our best helper. Our best helper. Let's pray. Father God, direct us tonight. Show us some things in this passage tonight, Lord, that will help us and bless in our business and our year. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you go back to the beginning of the psalm, and I'm just going to kind of go through it quickly with you tonight. It says there's an inscription above it, a psalm and a song at the dedication of the house of David. Now, commentators are divided about that. What house is he talking about? Is he talking about his own house, his palace? Is he talking about the temple? There's a lot of division about that as to which place he's talking about. Nevertheless, it is a dedication. Probably his own house, perhaps, that he built and dedicated to the Lord. And then, of course, he wanted to build the temple, and his son Solomon ended up doing that. And so either way, it is a song, a psalm and a song, it says. A psalm of prayer and a psalm of praise for what he said in verse 10, the help of God. He prayed for the help of God, and he prays for the help of God as well, right? So I'll give you about five things, I think it is, four or five things quickly tonight. Number one, praise the Lord for past help. Has God given you any help in the past? Praise God. Let's look at this quickly. Verse 1, "I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit." I mean, he's praising God not only for good things. "Lord, you've lifted me up, you've exalted me, you've made me king, but Lord, you've spared my life as well." And David really could talk about that a few times. Amen. There's several times when God had saved his life and spared his life. So you know, God brought him from being a shepherd boy. God brought him through those times of the pursuit of King Saul. And then God brought him to the kingdom, the throne. So here he is just saying, "God, thank you. You've done so much for me. You've done so many things for me. You've helped me. You've protected me. And you've heard my prayer. You've answered my prayer." And on this special occasion of the dedication of his house, is a building, or perhaps the temple, whichever it is. It is a special occasion, but he's just praising God for the help that got him to that point. And we always can do that. Amen. Thank God for the help that has got us to where we are right now. And on that occasion, by the way, our business meeting last year was different because we were getting ready to do a lot of remodel. We've done that. So thank God that he's brought us to the point we're at now. Amen. And a year later, and it's all done. Matter of fact, it took about half a year, I think, to pretty much get it done. But praise the Lord for all that he has done. Praise the Lord for past help. Let me say number two, you ought to invite others to praise the Lord with you. He says in verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Now again, if this is a national dedication, David's built something, he's the king, they're all right there with him, and he is encouraging others, y'all need to sing too. Y'all need to praise God too. Y'all need to thank God as well. A national day of prayer and praise. By the way, don't you think America needs to get back to some of that? National days, and not just on something that's on the calendar called that, perhaps whenever a president can just call for a day of prayer or a day of praise. Amen? Well, that's what he's doing right here at this special occasion of dedicating his house, it says. But listen, folks, we can encourage others. Now, this can be convicting to us. We can encourage others to be negative, or we can encourage others to be positive. We can encourage others to go away from God, or we can encourage others to go towards God, right? And we have to ask God to help us with that, to invite others. By the way, if you go out witnessing, you know what you're doing? You're inviting others to love God, believe on the Lord, love the Lord, praise the Lord, amen, to worship God. If you invite somebody to church, you're inviting them to praise God. If you encourage somebody in the good things that God does, you're encouraging them to praise the Lord. Amen? So we see that here. He praised the Lord for past help. He invited others to praise the Lord. Now let me say this. Number three, watch out for pride. This sort of really gets into something interesting here. You remember in 2 Corinthians 12, whenever Paul talked about the thorn in the flesh, God gave it to him to keep him from getting puffed up. God gave him a thorn. God gave him something that because he was going to use him in such a mighty way, God was going to give him something to keep him from getting proud. You know, sometimes, folks, God can bless us to the point that we get to thinking we've done something. And we forget it was God. And we get to thinking we did it. And that's what happens right here. If you look at verse 5, now, we all love this verse, but look, he says, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now, I think he might be talking here we'll get into it in a minute, the next two verses, but I think God put him through a time of chastening. That's the weeping for the night. Aren't you glad, folks, that chastening from the Lord is a temporary thing, but the joy and the grace of God is an eternal thing? The weeping is a temporary thing, but the grace and the joy of God is the eternal thing. Aren't you glad of that tonight? We're going to go through troubles. We're going to go through trials. But David's saying here, I'm glad that didn't last forever. He could be thinking about running from Saul. I mean, he thought that was going to last forever. He got past it. He's the king now. Amen? So he can praise the Lord there was a time, though, whenever he had the anger of God chastening, but then he talked about the favor of God. He talked about the weeping, but then he talked about the joy that comes in the morning. Why? Well, I think he got proud over the blessings, thinking he did something. Look at the next verse. Verse 6. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. In my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Boy, I am strong now. Amen. You ever got there? Man, look at me. I'll never be moved. Verse 7, Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to be strong. All right, well, now he's recognizing where his prosperity came from. His mountain is strong. His kingdom is strong, right? And where did it come from? The Lord. So he has some chastening going on, but he's learning some things. But look at the rest of verse 7. He then said, "Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled." I got to saying I'd never be moved. I got to saying I've got a strong thing going. And Lord, you pulled back and hid your face. Beware of pride when things are going good. You know, we're kind of humble when things are going bad, right? Because we know we need God. But if they're going good, we might get to think we're doing it. But when God hides His face and God withdraws His blessing even, and we get the anger instead of the favor, well, you know, He did the wise thing. He gets back to praying, right? Thank the Lord He did do that. But He thought that He really had something going, but He realized and He woke up and realized it was my prosperity was really the blessings of the Lord. Let's always remember. Let's don't. You know, Paul. You know, Paul might have looked at this, and I wrote 2 Corinthians 12:7 beside those verses because that was Paul's case where God gave him a thorn to keep him from getting proud because prosperity led to pride with David, which led to chastening. Now, again, he's talking about God's got me to this point. We're dedicating the house, but it's been a long journey, and I've been through a lot to get here. And there's been some weeping, but thank God there's been some rejoicing as well as we get through some of these things in our life. Amen? So, praise God for past help. Invite others to praise God. That's what he did there in verse 4. Watch out for the pride. I'm strong. I'll never be moved. And then God backs up. And then the cloud comes over. And then the blessings are gone. What do you do? What do you do? Well, I thought I had something going here. I thought I was really it. I thought I was something. And now all of a sudden, it's like the spigot turned off. That God will do those things, by the way, to get our attention. Back on Him. Amen? Right? I was talking about 1 John 1:9. There's a lot of times we have to go back and say, God, forgive me again. I done it again. Lord, I blew it again. And we do this oftentimes. We have to. And we get to thinking we got something going, and we have to watch out for pride. Prosperity leads to pride if we're not careful. All right, number four was this, though. Number four is this, pray for further help. He wisely got back to praying. Let's go to verse 8. We're just going through this psalm real fast. Verse 8, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. It was time to get back to praying, wasn't it? He said, this is what I did. I decided I better get back on my knees. I decided I better do some more praying. You been there? Y'all been there? Well, I better pray, and I better some supplication. I need to ask God for mercy again. I need to ask God for some help again. And he's leading up to that. So he got in trouble again, but wisely he went back to praying. And it must have got pretty serious, because look at verse 9. Look at the argument that he gives God. Verse 9, he said, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? He's like, God, don't kill me. Don't let my enemies kill me. And then he just says this, Lord, I can't praise you if I'm down there in the grave. Lord, if I die today, I can't praise you. Well, that's a pretty good argument. Amen, right? Amen. God, I want to worship you some more. I want to praise you some more. I want to serve you some more. And Lord, I can't do it if I'm in the grave. Y'all like that argument? Amen, I see. Y'all going to be praying that verse right there. I mean, Lord, I can't do it if you don't keep me around. Amen. I did read this, that some of the Old Testament saints had this mindset that once you're dead, all communication and praise is over with. But they don't understand what we understand, folks. It just goes up into heaven. You'll still be talking to God, and you'll worship God forevermore. Amen? But their view was a little more fatalistic. But I get what you're saying here tonight, too. You want to hang around and do some more for the Lord, right? You'd like to hang around and serve the Lord longer. What's he doing, though? He's praying. He's pouring his heart out to God, and he's just giving honest prayer to God. Lord, if you have mercy, because Lord, this chastening is pretty serious, and I need you to lift me up again. Get me out of the miry clay again. Let me get my foot out. Lord, I feel like I got one foot in the grave, and that's not good. I can't praise you like that, Lord. So he's praying a pretty good prayer, I'd say. Well, that brings us to verse 10 where we were. In verse 10, what does he say? He says, "Hear, O Lord." Now, we read this a little bit ago. It's just, you just read it. But now you got a little more understanding of why he's saying, "Hear me, O God. Have mercy upon me, O God. Be thou my helper, O God." Now that we've come back to it, it makes a little more sense, doesn't it? There's a little more feeling in that verse once you realize the setting and what's going on there. Yeah, he's been through a lot, and he's praised God for it. And he's got some chastening even, and he's trying to get past that and get over that and thankful that didn't continue forever. But he's praying again because of that. And three specific things in verse 10. "Hear me, O God." Ask God to hear your prayer. Ask God to help you remove anything that's causing him not to hear your prayer. A barrier there, right? "Have mercy upon me." Lord, have mercy. Look, if you let them kill me, I can't praise you down there in the grave. Have mercy, right? Whatever the situation might be. It's always good to pray for mercy. The mercy of God is always good. But then I notice he makes it very, very personal. He says, "Lord," again. But notice this time he said, "Lord, be thou my helper." Real personal. "Lord, I want you personally." Remember, Moses did the same thing. "God, if you're not going, I don't want to go. God, I don't want an angel. I want you. Be thou my helper," right? Hey, you know, other people can help us. Thank God for connections you have and all that. But there's nothing like getting the help of the Lord, right? So he says, "Lord, I need you to be my helper. You and me. You be my personal helper." So I'm saying tonight, our best helper is God, right? Our best help comes from the Lord. So here he is praying this prayer and getting very, very personal right there whenever he tells God, "I can't praise you in the grave, but Lord, I need you to have mercy on me. I need you to hear me. I need you to have mercy on me. I need you to be my helper." And God always had been, but this is a renewed prayer, if you will, a renewal of that prayer, even, if you will. You know what Proverbs says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I believe that's the Lord. I believe he's the best helper. I believe he's the closest friend. And he's saying here, "Lord, be thou my helper." Make it personal. Make that your prayer. Do you want to ask him, "Lord, hear me"? Do you want to ask him, "Lord, have mercy on me"? Do you want to ask him, "Lord, please be thou my helper"? Well, he got serious right there with that prayer. So again, watch out for pride. Number four, pray for further help. All right, number five, we'll look at the last two verses, is simply this: keep on praising God. Once you get past it, now look at verse 11. Verse 11 is a lot. All right, verse 5 is remember, anger endureth but a moment, favors in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. All right, look at verse 11. It's similar. "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness." So he's praising God. So apparently he got through that chastening period. And now he's saying, "Lord, you took off the ash." You know how they had put on the ashes and the sackcloth and mourning when things weren't going good? He said, "Lord, we've got rid of that and got the joy of the Lord again." Amen, right? You know what, folks? Sometimes do you ever pray for a fresh start? Do you ever need a fresh start? That's what he's talking about. Thanking God for a fresh start. We need to pray for a fresh start on a lot of things. A lot of things. You know, we're just coming to the end of January, the end of the first month. January 1st, boy, fresh start. I ain't got to February 1st, and I need a fresh start. Amen, right? We need revival all the time. We need revival real often. So he says there, thank God, Lord, trouble is not forever. Thank God, chastening is not forever. The trouble passes. Praying for a fresh start. Well, when it comes, praise God for it. Now the last verse, look at verse 12. To the end that, here's why he's praying all this. My glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Now what is it? That catches my attention. Now he says, my glory? Well, David, are you getting proud again? What are you talking about, your glory? You know what he's saying here? My glory, my prosperity, my blessings that come from you will all be for thy glory. For thy glory. My glory is for your glory. And he says, I'm going to give thanks unto thee forever. What I say on this point, keep praising God. So he got back to praying, and he got back to praising, which is where he started this psalm. So to this end, basically, is what he says, that my glory may sing praise to thee. Lord, for now on, instead of me saying, look at me and look what I've done, and look how big I am and how strong my kingdom is. No. Whatever I consider to be my glory, sing praises unto thee, O God. You know, when somebody compliments you, you ought to just go ahead and say, Lord, that compliment belongs to you. Somebody says, you helped me. You ought to say, God is my helper. God helped you. God might have used you to help them, so you praise God for it. Amen. Praise God for his help, but praise God for whenever he uses you. So he's saying, my glory is for thy glory. Because first of all, my glory is from you. My blessings is what he's talking about. My blessings, my prosperity, anything good in me, Paul talked about that too. Any good thing in me, it comes from God. That's pretty powerful right there, isn't it? Keep on praising God. Get back to praising God. That's what he's doing right here. So he says, now, Lord, I'm going to use my blessings, not for my praise, but for your glory and your praise. And he said, I'm going to do this. What did he say? And Lord, I'll give thanks unto thee forever. So the first words in that verse, to this end, what? That I'll give praise unto God forever. He said, from now on, Lord, you get the glory, you get the praise. Not me. I'm not stealing your glory anymore. Amen? You know, it never is us anyway. Isn't that true? All glory belongs to God. Again, Paul parallels a lot of this. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. If I'm anything, it's by the grace of God, right? Now we get humbled a lot. When that old sinful flesh of ours rears up its ugly head, we get humbled a lot, don't we? Any good thing that happens, though, let's don't say, look at me. Let's say, look at him. He helped me today. Amen? Did you fight off some temptation today? Did you do something good today? God did it through you. Praise the Lord, right? It's only by the help of God. We have, and our failures remind us. Do your failures drive you back to your knees? Do your low points drive you back to God? Amen? That's what it's supposed to do. That's what it needs to do. And we need to say, Lord, from here on, this is for you. It's not for my glory anymore. Why? Because you're my best helper. Are you praising God for being your best helper? Our best helper that sticketh closer than a brother is the Lord. Amen? We could come to church 3-4 times a week. Can you imagine doing that? Come to church 3 or 4 times a week. Y'all say, preacher, we do. We do that, amen. But can you imagine come to church 3 or 4 times a week to worship the Lord and praise God? Amen. Hey, that's pretty good. I like it. But you know what? We can get up tomorrow morning when there's no church assembly called and we can say, thank you, Lord. Right? Tomorrow night we can go to bed and we can say, praise God. Right? And I can't wait till I get back to church to do it with everybody else too. Amen. Right? Just praise the Lord. Thank God. Why? He is our best helper. Amen? Let's bow our heads tonight as we think about this. Father, I thank you, Lord, for speaking to my heart with this verse and this psalm. And Lord, I pray, God, you'd take it and use it, Lord, to be a help to others as well. And Lord, help us to always be mindful, God, that you're the one that deserves the glory and the praise. And God, that you are the one that is our best helper. And so, Lord, we do call upon you today. We want you to hear us. We want you to have mercy on us. We want you to help us personally. So, Lord, we call upon you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for all your goodness to us. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.